If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
A couple of hours before United play Inter Milan in Singapore, and I've got the very clean and efficient metro to the National Stadium. It's a different one to when United last played here in 2001. It's been completely rebuilt, it's a new stadium, it's completely covered. And I'm walking around the ground, I'd say Manchester United fans outnumber Inter fans from what I've seen so far by about 9 or 10 to 1. Unless I'm missing something obvious and there's 30,000 Inter on the other side of the stadium, but I don't think so. I've just been outside the Juventus hotel as well, and looking down through their squad list and thinking, they haven't half got a really good team. How did Manchester United beat them last season? Come to the ground and I'm outside Al Capone's bar, which is full of Manchester United fans, as I understand, from Singapore, Indonesia and India, who've used this as their meeting point, and they're working through a medley of Manchester United chants. Sounds quality, sounds quite funny as well, because the accents are definitely not Mancunian. With Keith, runs the High Peak branch. How's your trip been, mate?
It's been great, thanks, Andy. We did the two games in Perth. We're doing this one today, and then business says I've got to be home.
So how long have you been following United for pre-season? What was the first pre-season tour you
pre-season,
went
on? Pre-season, the first pre-season. Oh, jeepers, I don't know. 1990, I suppose.
Yeah.
And followed United since 57.
Yeah. You've seen some incredible highs and lows during that time.
Oh, yeah.
How does the current situation, how do you see Manchester United at the moment?
Well, I don't think we're as bad as we were when we got relegated in the 70s, but we're on a bit of a low, but we've got a lot of exciting young players coming now, and I think Solskjaer will turn it round. He needs a couple of new signings. He needs to get the rest of the first team on board. Let's get it together, you know. I don't know if towards the end of the season the despondency crept in or just fatigue after the great run Solskjaer had when he first came. But yeah, I think we'll be up there. But yeah, I think if we get into fourth this season, it's a learning curve again.
What have you made of Sue signing so far? Bissaka, Dan James, he's playing young lads who have come through the academy.
Oh, yeah.
Is that going to be enough, or do you think that they need to buy more experienced players or get better out of players who failed at the end of last season?
Well, I think that the players we've got can perform, you know, if they want to stay. If they don't want to stay, then let's get shut. And
so Paul Pogba, he wants to leave, the club don't want to sell him, yeah. Solskjaer doesn't want him to go.
Well, I think Solskjaer wants him he wants to mould a team around him. He wants him really to be his captain. And hopefully there's no takers, nobody will get the asking price. And Paul, as professional as he should be, he should turn around and say, right, nobody's come up with the money, I'm staying, and you'll get 100% out of it.
And we've seen similar before. I wrote about Wayne Rooney in 2013. He wanted to leave. At the start of August 13, I couldn't find a United fan in support of him. Yet 2 weeks later at Swansea Way, for the first league game, when Rooney had stayed because United wouldn't sell him, half the United then were cheering him.
Yeah, oh yeah. And I think it'll be the same with Paul as well. I think that if he stays and shows the commitment, which he's shown so far, you know, the 245 minutes he's played, he's shown that he is a world-class player. And alright, friendlies, but you've still got to be there and do it. And I think he'll just say, right, nobody's bought me. He's professional enough to say, I'll play. And let's be on with it.
You touched on the players slinking away at the end of last season. Yeah. Results were terrible.
Do you think there's any other issues? Does the ownership concern you? Does the recruitment concern you?
The ownership always concerns me. You know, I didn't go down to Old Trafford and start fighting anybody because of the takeover, but all the Glazers have done is milk the club. You know, and I've met Ed Woodward a few times, and to be honest, I think that Ed should have stayed looking after the sponsorship deals. You know, he's got time to do that. It's not a window, it's an open-ended thing, and we should just let him do that. And if it means a director of football, let's bring one in. We need somebody to do it, you know.
They were set on appointing one, and you haven't appointed one.
No, I know. No, because I don't think they know what they're looking for.
They don't.
No.
Some of the best ones in the world.
I know, yeah. And we're sort of umming and ahhing, you know. And just go out and do it. Just appoint somebody, you know. Somebody with a lot of football now, so knows the game. You know, and all right, if it's Rio, it's Rio. If it's the chap from Norwich, can't remember his name.
Stuart,
yeah.
I met Stuart when he was at Liverpool as a young lad.
Yeah.
And then he moved to Huddersfield. I went to see him again. He was still very young. 2017. Start of the season. And Huddersfield had a good start to the season.
Yeah.
In the Championship. And I thought, what's going on here? Because you've got no money.
Oh.
So I went to meet Stuart, and he took me round. And he didn't give me his full technique away. But they went up that year.
Yeah.
And then he's obviously done very well at Norwich. So yeah. He's good at his job.
Yeah, he knows
clearly
what he's doing.
Very,
yeah.
Very good at his job. He's never worked at Manchester United level, but he was at Liverpool before he was at Huddersfield. And it's one of the reasons why Jurgen Klopp's best friend went to manage Huddersfield. I think he took a goalkeeper as well from Liverpool. So.
Yeah.
But if they're not going to appoint one, they're not going to appoint one.
No. Then I think if they don't appoint one, then I think we'll be just going round in circles again.
And same old. Sixth and seventh and fifth and fourth.
Yeah. And that's not good enough for United.
No, any good enough.
No. It's it'll be painful, you know, to know that I've been following them all this time, and it's not going to get any better in the rest of my life. That's upsetting.
How would you describe the scene where you're sat now, if you were talking to one of your friends back in Derbyshire?
Yeah, it'd just be the same. The scene's pretty good, to be honest.
No. Yeah. I mean, where you are now with all the fans around.
Oh yeah, no. That is just superb. Yeah. We've when we were in Perth, we met this secretary of the Singapore branch, and I think the chairman's trying to find me. No, I'm difficult to miss, you know. But the supporters have been superb. You know, I should have charged $1 for every photo taken in front of the branch flag. I'd have been worth a fortune then. I'd have paid for the trip.
So there's a queue of people waiting to have the picture taken with your flag.
Yeah. We just hung it up on the wall there. And,
I've actually been charging people $1.
Have you? Oh, nice one, Andy. Good.
I've got 400 Singaporean dollars in the pocket. I'll give you in January.
Nice one, mate.
Thanks for your time.
Cheers, Andy.
There's 2 hours to kick off. I'm stood outside the National Stadium now, and it's packed with Manchester United fans. With Alex, who runs the official Singaporean supporters club. How long have you done that for, Alex, and how long has the supporters club been going?
The supporters club was established in year 2011. We are the only official supporters club recognized by Old Trafford. I have been in a group of this supporters club ever since the start. Yep. So me and along a few others are founding members, and a few others is still in the club, still very involved in providing a service to the Manchester United Supporters Club of Singapore.
Yeah. How old are you, and how long have you supported Manchester United?
I'm 35 this year, and then I have supported Manchester United ever since I was 9 years old. Yep, that was during Eric Cantona's time. Yep, there along came all the greats that we are talking about now, and further the next generation that we are seeing now. I'm excited for Manchester United, the team, to come over here today.
Can you remember them coming last time in 2001?
That's a tough question. That was like 18 years ago, I guess.
Yeah.
I wasn't that involved during that time. So because most of the time we were watching the match on TV. Yeah, so during that time I was still a little kid. Yeah, so not very much involved then.
How
let's walk away from the speaker that's just started to jump up behind us. Which is the most popular football team here in Singapore?
You mean there's other popular football teams other than Manchester United?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm not sure of that. I guess I only know Manchester United, sorry.
And do you also watch any local football, Singaporean football, in the professional league here?
I do watch them when I was growing up, when I was a teenage. Very much a lot of us always want to engage with football. We definitely look up to our local scenes for inspiration. So yes, I do. But along the way, I'm much more now more involved in Manchester United Supporters Club.
And do you have a club? Because when I came here last time, there was a Red Cafe opening. I'm not sure if that's still open. Where do you meet to watch games?
You're right. There used to be a Manchester United cafe bar. So actually, back of the history of the club, we started there. Yep. So for now, we'll be hosting games more along the central area. But venue-wise, we haven't been confirmed yet. But if you guys do follow our Facebook group, we will announce more for the upcoming season where we'll be at watching our games.
Have you been to Old Trafford?
Yes, twice actually. Yep. Definitely not enough.
Which games?
Okay, I've been to the one against Marseille, Champions League. Hair-raising atmosphere I have there when I enter the stadium itself because it's night game. So other than that, I watched a Liverpool game. We won 3-3. Yeah, so that was the most memorable match that I've attended so far.
When Berbatov scored, Dimitar Berbatov, he scored 3 goals, didn't he? And then, are you optimistic finally about this season?
I'm always optimistic about the club. Because I believe, end of the day, Manchester United, the passion it runs in the players, in the fans, and I believe for the fan base wise, we are always very passionate on game days that we can cheer the players up.
Are there any Manchester City fans here?
Oh, sorry,
the bitter City.
No, I heard about maybe other city, but not who? Sorry.
Thank you very much for your time and good luck with the branch this season.
Yeah, thank you.
And just before I walk into the stadium, a gentleman's just come up and shook my hand and tells me that he's from Penang in Malaysia. And you said you followed United for how long?
1963.
What's your name?
Ambi.
And Ambi or Umbi?
Ambi.
Umbi.
A-M-B-I.
Why did you start following Manchester United in 1963?
Okay, my school teacher told me about the Munich tragedy. From there, I got hooked. And my very first player was Dennis Law. And later it was Bobby Charlton. Then it was George Best. I still remember the day I was waited for the newspaper to come and tell me about the 1968 European Cup winner. Because those days I have to wait for the papers only. There was no TV, and actually there was BBC, but I didn't know about it. And most of the news was from the newspapers. Later it was the radio. BBC was helping us out. Then finally satellite TV. Now it's the internet. So all the way through.
That's really interesting. Mm. So you used to wait for a few days for the result or for a match report?
For a result. Until I got BBC. Then BBC, I will wake up early in the morning at 6:45 a.m. to get the weekend results. And the Saturday's result, I will wake up at wait for them at 11 p.m.
Did you get any more information apart from the result or just the
magazines?
Result? Right.
Shoot magazine. Yeah. Whole magazine.
And this arrived a few weeks later?
Months later.
Really?
months later.
So all your information came from... Wow. And now there's almost...
Immediate.
And have you ever been to...
I was there for 3 years in United. I was working as a kitchen porter in a place called Bury.
Bury, of course. Bury's in Greater Manchester.
I was 2004 or 2005, I met the whole 1968 European Cup winners for a dinner. I only missed out on George Best, Shea Branham and Tony Dunne. These three players were not there.
Who's your favourite player of all this time?
All time?
Of all time.
All time has to be Dennis Law.
Really?
Yes. I think he was the player who won the European Cup Footballer of the Year in 1964.
He did?
Yes.
And how did you see images of him playing on TV?
Later on TVs.
Yeah.
Then later some of them on magazines covers. I did meet him.
Why did your school teacher tell you about the Munich air disaster in Malaysia?
I don't know. The school teacher just guessed it because he was my sports teacher. And he just told us about this football story. And it came very late to me. It happened in 58, but it was told to me in 1963. So from there, I just started to follow United.
How old were you in 1960?
12 years old.
So 12 years old.
I met a lot of players. I met Wayne Rooney. I met Norman Whiteside. I met Norman Whiteside in an after dinner speech at the Bury Hotel. And I thanked him for the 1985 European Cup, FA Cup winning goal.
What a goal.
Yes. I met Alex Stepney. And I told him you were the best goalkeeper United had. And although people tell Michael and Van der Sar, but for me it is Alex Stepney.
So how long has it taken you to come from Penang? Did you fly down here?
No, I took a bus last night.
How long did the bus take?
About 10 hours.
Overnight.
Because I don't want to put up in a hotel. Then tonight I go back.
On
the bus again. One of my best time was staying in England, following United for 3 years. I went to about 20 over matches. I met a lot of ex-players, current players also. I just met Wes Brown.
I'm going to meet him now.
Yeah, I just met him when I was walking up about 1 hour ago. Today was a lucky day for me to meet Wes Brown.
Right, that's lovely to meet you. After the game, another win for Manchester United, beating Inter. I spoke to Wes Brown about Axel Tuanzebe. Axel, how's he done?
Yeah, I think he did really well. Obviously, last year he did fantastic for Aston Villa. I know they tried to get hold of him again, try and make it permanent, but he really impressed me today. He was winning his one-on-one battles. He was calm, good in the air. You know, I thought everyone was very good, but he, you know, he looked like, yeah, he's stepping up this year, and he's had a good year away last year, and now he looks like he's ready to be a contender to try and get that position.
What does he do well?
He's strong. You know, he's reading the game well. Listen, he's played a full season now, so he'll get better.
And I spoke to Axel himself. We interviewed him last year in United We Stand, and he went away to Villa, and there's quite a bit of depth to the United We Stand interview, and we've done more for this season. So on the tour, I've spoken to Nemanja Matic, done a big interview with Dimitar Berbatov, so there's a lot more depth to them. But after the game in Singapore, I did speak to Axel. He's from Democratic Republic of Congo, but he moved to Manchester when he was 4. And worked hard to settle in, did well at school, captain Manchester United at every level, up to the first team. So here's Axel. How are you feeling?
Are you better
than you were a year ago when I spoke to you?
Most definitely. I think my season last year demonstrated that. You know, at Aston Villa, having a good coach to support me and help me build as a player and a person, and I think I'm a much better player than I was a year ago.
In what way?
In just maturity and decision making, and you know, physically, a lot of aspects. You know, just building myself, building myself in the game, and just kind of being mature and being looked at as a senior player in the game.
You told me a year ago you felt ready to play for Manchester United week in, week out. Now,
most definitely, even more so. Especially getting that full experience of men's football just demonstrates that I can play at that level, and I'm being out on tour now and doing it again, obviously just kind of portrays that even more. So I think I'm definitely ready.
And Aaron did very well at right back.
Yeah, definitely, that's my boy. You know, just make him welcome into the team, and you can already see why we paid so much money for him, because he's demonstrating, you know, great defensive feats. You know, we call him the spider because no one can get past him. So he's been very solid. He's been welcomed, and he's, you know, he's been quiet. But you know, we'll get him out of his shell.
And there's a very young defence today. I just worked out the average age is 23. The manager's got faith in young players, isn't it?
Yeah, most definitely. And I think that's the theme throughout, I'd say more the culture throughout the club. The manager wants to have a young squad. He wants to build young players for the future, and he's putting a lot of faith in us, and we just want to deliver for him.
And you're ready to repay? You're confident now?
Most definitely. I think another 60 under my belt, and I just keep on improving.
I also spoke to Andres Pereira a lot of the times on the tour. He's someone whose career I follow closely. Saw him in Valencia and at Granada, and he's clearly a talented player, but I think he knows this season is going to be make or break for him at Manchester United if he's going to establish himself as a regular. One-off moments are not enough. He needs to be doing it on a more consistent basis. And I spoke to Andreas. He's playing well pre-season. He often does do that, and he's played well on this pre-season. So that's encouraging, and here's Andreas.
What
do you need to do this year? How did you see last season?
Last season, I had some difficulties, you know, to overcome mentally. I was doing well. Then Mourinho was a little bit a setback. I didn't play as much, and I got out of the team. But then when Oli came in and gave me the chance, he spoke with me, and I was doing well. And then I had the Burnley, the mistake. So I had to overcome that. He spoke with me, you know, he took me apart. He said I had to calm down and trust myself, my ability. My family spoke with me as well. So it was a difficult time for me. And after that, I came back, and he gave me the opportunity to play against Southampton to start. And I did great, you know, I scored the goal of the season. I gave assist to Rome. After that, we did the brilliant thing against PSG. So it has been like a very learning season for me last year. And I think now I'm ready to step up, and you know, I'm confident, I'm strong, I feel good, and the manager feels confident about me, so I'm very, very happy, and now I just want to show it on the pitch week in, week out.
Now's the time, you're 23.
I'm 23, it's time now. I've experienced, I've played in Valencia, I've played in Granada, played some Champions League games, important games for United, played some Premier League games for United, so I'm ready to step up my game and to play in.
How did you feel when that mistake against Burnley? Was it instant? Did you just know straight away, oh fuck?
You know, when and at the moment I didn't see the player, and then when it happened, you know, and it was like I was down in the game. I wasn't thinking about it too much. After that, when I got subbed, it got into me a little bit. After that, I saw it at home. I was angry. I didn't speak with no one like for a week. And after that, I felt better, and I started looking myself and picking myself up. And the manager spoke with me as well, so I got over it.
What about Brighton? That was a bad game, the second game of last season. Again, were you just thinking?
Yeah, it was a difficult game, that one. The first game we played really well, and then the second game it was, you know, difficult game, and I got subbed, and I felt I did something wrong. And the manager spoke with me, I would be fine, but I didn't play anymore, so it was difficult to show me, like, to get the better side of myself if you don't play. It's always you're as good as your last game. So my last game was against Brighton. I wanted to be good. I want to play good. And you put too much pressure on yourself.
What did you do well?
I think I'm mentally, you know, very strong. From last year, a lot of people helped me, and I overcome everything. And so I'm very, very, very happy about that, and as well physically I feel very strong, and stronger each year, and I feel now that it's my time to step up, like you said.
Which position?
As a number 8, as a number 10, I can play on the right wing, like I spoke with the manager about it, like Bex used to play, you know, I cut a little bit inside, get the early cross in. So I'm happy he's confident with me, and I just want to show the confidence he had in me and the pitch.
How was it towards the end of last season when the results just dropped away badly?
It was, you know, we felt like we were fading away a little bit. The training was not as sharp as it used to be in the start. I don't know, it was, we got, I don't know, a lack of concentration, I think. But after that, this season, when we started, we had a very bad feeling after the last game last season. When we started this season, we spoke, and now if you see the training sessions now, we're sharper, We have the young players now, we have everything, so we know what the team, what we did wrong, and that's what we want to improve.
Finally, describe your relationship with Ole Gunnar.
I have a very good relationship with him. I'm very close, I'm very happy, and hopefully we can continue this relationship.
So that's it for this podcast. Now going on towards the next game, which is in Oslo on Tuesday night against Kristiansund, which is the town Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's from. United have played 4-1-4 pre-season, so that's really encouraging, and I've been speaking to lots of people around the club on and off the record, and I see a lot of positive signs now. We've been here before pre-season. I can remember Van Gaal's first year when United looked great in first pre-season and then lost at home to Swansea in the first game and it all kicked off. So any positive signs at the moment, I think it's good that they're positive, it's good that they're winning games, good that they're not conceding goals, it's good that the young players are doing well, good that they're fitter. But it is only pre-season. United have got two very tough matches at the start against Chelsea and Wolves. Ole Gunnar still wants to bring players in, still wants to move players on. They're finding it hard to do that. But this pre-season could have been a lot worse. And I quite like the attacking, this high-pressing game. There's a lot of energy about those younger players as well. And the two who've signed, Dan James and Aaron Wan-Bissaka, they've both settled in well. So that's good. Good too. Will more players come in? I certainly hope so. The manager wants them, and that's good enough for me. Pogba, nothing's really changed there. Lukaku wants to go, but if Lukaku goes, you love him or loathe him, you're taking a lot of goals out of that side. And it's all right saying Mason Greenwood's been good. Young players invariably are inconsistent, and if United do sell Lukaku, I think he needs to be replaced. His stock has fallen quite a lot, but he's still scored an awful lot of goals. Rashford, encouragingly, and Martial, also encouragingly, have looked decent on the tour. And then after Oslo, we've got the game against Milan in Cardiff, and then on for the first game against Chelsea. That's when we'll be bringing the first United We Stand of the season out. I will take some copies to Oslo of the summer special, and so I'll be selling them in and around Oslo, try and get them sold outside the ground as well. So I feel at the moment that there's the fragile confidence among the players, but that could be shattered with a bad start to the season. And these are still unusual circumstances for Manchester United. Six, clearly nowhere near good enough. And there's got to be a big gap bridge for next season. I don't think the team are going to win the league. And I hate myself for saying that in July, but I'd just like to see a team coming together. I'd like to see clearly a better season than last term, because it was an abomination towards the end of it, but to see a style come in, to see something that says to me, this is Manchester United, because I didn't really see that under David Moyes, under Louis van Gaal, or under Jose Mourinho. I saw it in little glimpses. I remember the spring of Van Gaal's first season being very good. I remember the December, November of Mourinho's second season being decent, and he won a few trophies as well in his first season. But this is Manchester United. This really should be one of the top teams in the world, and we're way off that at the moment. So got some nice podcasts lined up, and we'll bring them to you. We're working on the next mag. The deadline's the 1st of August. If you've got anything you'd like for inclusion, we welcome subjects and articles on any subject. Please send to uwsmag@yahoo.co.uk. And if you want a subscription, get it renewed as soon as possible via our website, which is uwsonline.com. Until the next podcast next week, or most certainly from Norway, goodbye.